First reading is Isaiah chapter 55, found on page 743 in the Church Bibles. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all of the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading is taken from John chapter 4, starting at verse 34. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labour. This is the word of the Lord.
Father God, please put a guard over my mouth and my thoughts, and may I only say today what is honouring and to you and what is true, Lord. Amen. In the last census, 59% of people in Britain said that they are Christians. And yet, as we see when we go around talking to people, and as we see when people come on Alpha, who are actually interested in finding out about the Christian faith, most people under the age of 40 especially know almost nothing at all about who Jesus is, and almost nothing at all about the Christian faith. People are kind of walking around in a spiritual fog, a kind of shadowy fog, where Jesus and the Christian faith are concerned. And it called to mind this morning as I was thinking about this, the end of Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus went to the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news. And he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And not knowing about spiritual things is a kind of dangerous place to be. And I'll give you an illustration of this. I went into town a couple of weeks ago to buy a book. And as I walked to the bookshop, I passed a big section that said self-help and spirituality. And I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. I wonder what's in there. And folks, what's in there are 3 or 4 books on witchcraft, books on horoscopes. There's one book called Mediumship Made Simple. There are boxes of tarot cards. There's a beautiful little book in all in white down the bottom called A Crystal Bible. I don't know what that is. And next to it's the psychic's Bible. That's self-help and spirituality. There's no Holy Bible. If you want to find the Holy Bibles, you've got to go right at the back of the shop and look under reference and computing, and there are three Bibles there bound in black. Not very visible, not very easy to find. And I thought to myself, you know, what happens if someone on our parish is bereaved? What are they going to do? Or if someone hits a life crisis, what happens if they're going to find themselves in that self-help and spirituality section of the bookshop? What are they going to come away with? The thing that got me most, actually, was it, having just had a baby grandson at the weekend, was in amongst it all was a book on choosing a name for your baby, you know, covered in pictures of babies. It's very easy for people in ignorance to find themselves walking down very dangerous pathways. And this is one of the great things about Alpha, because over 10 weeks, Alpha tells everybody very clearly the truth about who Jesus is, why he died and rose again, how people can have faith, why they should pray, why they should read the Bible, how does God guide us, and so on, week by week. And they can ask whatever questions they like. And people come on and they say, wow, I never knew that. I didn't know who Jesus was. You know, I'm a clever, educated person. I just didn't know. That reading we have from Isaiah is full of the majesty of God, isn't it? We just sung about how great is our God, how majestic. And the reason Carol Feben is up here this morning is that she is going to recite one of the great old hymns. And I wonder if you just close your eyes and drink in thoughts of the majesty of God while she recites this hymn to us.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise, unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains, high soaring above thy clouds, which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small. In all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but naught changeth thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, oh, help us to see, 'tis only the splendour of light hideth thee.
Thank you, Carol. Our God is truly majestic. In that reading today, God says through Isaiah, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, that isn't a kind of divine put-down. It's just a statement of truth. And when the world today tries to come drag God down to our level or question him, it's right to question, but we're kind of sometimes disrespectful of God, but he stands in awesome majesty. And yet it isn't a put-down, because that word there, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, doesn't remind you of Psalm 103, where David says, as the heavens are higher above the earth, so great is the Lord's love for those who fear him. He is a God who is awesomely majestic. And yet, when you go to the front, the first few verses of that chapter, you've got an invitation to the thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. And it's an invitation from our awesome, majestic God to come. Because that's what he's all about, isn't it? He's all about inviting us to come to him. And you go to the beginning of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 3, and you've got God saying to Adam and Eve, who've just eaten the apple, where are you? And you go through the Old Testament, he says, come all you who are thirsty. You go to John's Gospel, and Jesus says, if anyone who is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Right through to the very final page of the Bible, Revelation. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life, come. Come, you have no money, come buy and eat. It's all free, but bought for us at the cost of our God tearing himself apart on the cross. And the common theme there is being thirsty. And when we think of Alpha, we think of people who don't know God coming to him. But of course, those words in Isaiah are addressed to the exiles, to God's chosen people. And as mature Christians, we're also, I think, called to be thirsty. Thirstiness is part of being, is part of being a Christian. I read an obituary the other day of a Battle of Britain pilot who died in his 90s. He was one of our best Spitfire fighter pilots. And one of the things he said when he was interviewed just before he died was, I sometimes think my life peaked when I was 21, which is kind of understandable for a Spitfire pilot, but slightly sad, I think. I think my life peaked when I was 21. Now, I want to ask anyone who has been a Christian for, say, more than 10 years, and ask myself this as well, do you sometimes think your walk with God peaked at some time in the past? There's some euphoric moment or a weekend away or something. And do you think, you know, that was the best time? Because that's not what God wants for us. He wants us, as we walk with him, to be looking forward to new peaks, to feel the best is yet to come. And part of our walk with him is being thirsty and then being satisfied with the richest of fare, and then being challenged and facing life's troubles, and then being thirsty again and coming back to him. And there have been times in my life when I've drifted away, drifted backwards, and sometimes I've prayed to be thirsty. Another wonderful statement of God's majestic purposes in this chapter is this. Listen to this. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields sealed for the sower, seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. That is a statement of God's majestic purposes, which are certain, whatever we see in the world around us. And he's so great, you know, he could achieve that. He could bring in the coming of his kingdom and second coming of Jesus this morning if he wanted to. He could achieve it all with a wave of his mighty arm. But the wonderful thing about our God, not only does he put everything into lovely little seeds, but he also, in his infinite wisdom, has decided to use us to achieve his purposes. I don't know if anyone here is in human resources, but if you're in human resources, would you have chosen the 12 disciples to work with Jesus? Or almost any of the characters in the Bible who did great things? They wouldn't get through the first interview, probably. That's the way God loves to work. And to achieve his purposes here, he loves to use us. He loves to use us. And it's little old us, but we have God's word, we have the power of prayer, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we have the assurance of his promises. And so, little insignificant, flawed, flaky people though we are, we can go out there knowing we have God with us. Paul described the Corinthians as God's fellow workers, and that's us. God's fellow workers. What a privilege to be God's fellow workers, you know, as we work with him to achieve the coming in of his kingdom. You've seen Carl on the video this morning. We had, I think, 7 men on the men's Alpha, and more than half of them have now become Christians. Most of them are not here this morning because they're on holiday or away or chefing. One of them, called Lee Ierson Vaughan, I don't know if you know him, he came to faith on week 6 of Alpha. And following that Alpha session, he was chatting to me. Now, Lee is not a talkative man, but he just couldn't stop talking about his newfound faith. How he's telling people at work, how he's reading Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis on the train. And he said, I started off reading it on the train, hiding it. Then I thought, why am I hiding this? And he sat there reading on the train like this, you know. And so I said, what are you reading? Oh, I'm reading Mere Christianity. And Lee's, I don't know how old Lee is, he's probably about 35. And one of the things he said to me during that long chat after Alpha was, a funny thing is, he said, he's lived on the estate all his life. A funny thing is, when I was a boy, I always remember I used to go up for football training to the estate. the top of the estate in the field. And he said there was a lady from the church who used to come up with an easel. And she told us stories about Jesus, right? And eventually a neighbour said, "Stop, can you stop doing that? You're brainwashing the children." And she stopped. But she was doing that 30 years ago. And that seed that was planted in Lee sprouted about three or four weeks ago. Right, what an encouragement. Often, as David Perrott said last week, the seed we plant, we just don't see the fruit. And I'll tell you something, Lee Ireson Vaughan is going to be bearing a lot of fruit in his life because he's really going for it. It's amazing. Let's just close our eyes for a moment and read those verses again from Isaiah. I want you to think of the seed that's been sown on this estate in our parish over 40 years, right, and watered with our prayers. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You know, God's been watering that seed with his Holy Spirit all this time. Jesus was walking through Samaria one day and on his own met an outcast Samaritan woman by a well. She'd had five husbands, and she was so impressed by what she heard from Jesus that she ran back into the village and brought all these Samaritans back, who Jews don't normally talk to, and they all started following Jesus. And the bemused disciples came and saw all this happening, and Jesus said to them, "Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest." Right? I just wonder, are we being challenged to open our eyes and look at the fields out there? Do we think that all this seed that's been sown over all these years in our parish is maybe 4 months more, maybe a year or two more, and there'll be a harvest? Maybe the fields out there are riper for the harvest than we think. Thank you. Amen.